Bruce Grimm, welcome.
Hello, Julie. How are you doing?
Fine, Bruce. Thank you. You are in here sharing the music love every week on the airwaves in Saturday night's Sidetracks. So when and how did your passion for it all begin?
I've loved music since I was a child, actually.
Okay.
But really, it took form back in the, I guess, Ruby's Red Hot Records. I got my first job working at a Pizza Hut, and when Ruby had moved out there, I'd show up a couple, 3 hours early, hang out with Joe Anderson or John Archer, and they would play music, and they so it exposed me to a lot of different music. And that was sort of how it got started. And also, you meet a lot of people come out of the record store who are in the same passions for music, so then you'd start hanging out. One guy had a shortwave radio. We'd listen to John Peel sessions and all that kind of stuff. It was fun. And
you got a good intro and then upbringing.
Yeah, it was a good education. People had more interesting ideas to bring out there for you.
So as you developed, and of course now you're sharing it over the radio, what does a radio connection mean to you?
Well, I love a lot of music, and I would like people to hear that music. So if I found something that maybe someone else has not heard, if I have one person say, hey, I really like that one song, I went out and got it, or I really like it, I think that's a great thing. So I'm trying to expose people to music, be it new or old. Lots of other like about our show is we'll play stuff from 2017, brand new releases. We'll go back to the 50s and 60s. Nothing is left off the table.
Equal opportunity.
Correct.
That's just great. As a matter of fact, you and your partners in Saturday night's Sidetracks Crime, that's Brad Etter and George Seymour. How did you three get together?
Well, I've known George for a long time. He worked at the Karma and I was a regular.
Karma is one of the record stores from back in the heyday, we should let
Correct.
Our listeners know.
Yeah, Karma Records. That was another place I hung out quite a lot at. And George was the manager there at one point. So we've known each other for quite some time. And then Brad, actually, I'd met him a few times through George, but really until the radio show, that's when I got to know him and his passion for music as well.
And put you three together, and that's quite a dynamic trio, I have to say.
Yeah, I used to always text him or call him, what are you going to play tonight? So I get an idea how to craft the show. But sometimes we would just show up and we didn't know what we had. So that's when we have the comment. And now we're going to get totally sidetracked here. It was always fun.
That's great. And since you brought it up, calling it sidetracked, I really do like the way you three get musically derailed, to be sure. Otherwise, what is your take on the name Sidetracks?
For us, you're not necessarily going to play the top 40 song, the song everybody's heard by that artist. It's like, here's another deeper cut by this artist that we really like.
Okay.
For us there. So it's just, you know, you're just not going to hear like the hits all the time. You're going to hear that band you really love. Well, I never heard that song. That's kind of fun.
And derail is not a bad thing to be in. It's something that you really might do musically with your listeners.
Correct. And then sometimes you're sort of nervous, like, oh gosh, we just played some really folky thing. Now we're going to play something really loud, but it hangs together. So sometimes where you're even like, maybe I shouldn't play that. When we're all said and done, it's like, no, we should have played it. It was really cool. It's a nice sort of...
Good point. And you're channeling the old freeform radio.
Correct.
From back in that day, too, which is a great thing to be channeling.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. I am curious, just how do you guys plan your weekly three-way attack on a show and then execute it?
Well, actually, we just sort of agree on a set order. Like, if I was first this week, then George is first
okay.
next week. But when it comes down to, like, the music... Whatever you guys want to play, it's totally up to you. Occasionally, like, I'll say, well, hey, wait a second. I've got this one set of music that might flow really good after that one. But that's literally the night we get there. Because it's kind of fun just to be surprised what they thought of.
Like, you're almost as surprised as your listeners are then.
Correct. And a lot of times, like George was playing some psychedelic music a few nights ago and was like, hey, you know, that was really cool. A lot of stuff I'd never heard before, but it was the first time I heard a lot of it. So we were just both sitting there smiling away. It was having a good old time.
That's fantastic, really, when you can surprise and please each other and the listeners all at one time.
Yes.
And you certainly do a good job week in, week out. That's for sure. Okay. What can the listener expect to hear on any given Saturday night, for example?
Well, it'll go from the range of folk music to rock and roll and everything in between. So we'll play Woody Guthrie. We'll play the latest from a band that just played like at the Brass Rail, like Big Thief or something like that. Like I said, whatever works in the mix. If it flows together, that's all that matters. Or occasionally, like all these interesting covers where I played like Toots the Maytals, George Harrison. So he's like playing some reggae, playing this, but it was all these bands doing covers of stuff. So it's just really how the mix, how it flows together. So if it sounds good in the mix, we'll even play jazz occasionally.
And you seem to usually be at the throttle, so we would call you the engineer. How do you like doing that disc slinging? And as I understand, it's not, you don't exactly sling them anymore.
Not as much. Occasionally make a mixed disc up ourselves, bring it in there. So we'll copy them down from our vinyl or our CDs, put it in the mix there.
So but, you bring them right into the studio.
Correct.
With
and
you.
Then we'll plop them right down. Then we'll bring the disc in with this in case something doesn't go right. So we'll sling a disc, or a lot of times George has a lot of vinyl. I've got quite a bit of vinyl as well. And so occasionally there's certain songs that we don't have in your format, we'll play on the vinyl there. So that's okay. Always fun queuing things back up and doing it that way.
So you're happy to do whatever it takes to get that music shared?
Yeah, anyway. We've actually played with the idea of using the cassette player in there, but we don't know if it works.
I was going to ask if you would consider doing that, but well, silly me, of course you would. Why wouldn't you?
I got a bunch of cassettes still. We've actually played with the idea. We don't know if it works or not, so we were considering
it. Well, you're going to keep us posted. I have a feeling that we will know.
Yes.
If you are successful. And I think that is just great. Okay. I'm always curious with all of our on-air hosts, what are your favorite pursuits when you're not on air?
Well, I love reading books on any type of topic, listening to music. I used to play guitar, but I don't play as much right now. And I have really simple taste, music and books and a good movie, I guess.
Regarding your musical past, I'm sure you've had a lot of interesting musical happenings and events in your life, to be sure. Are there any that really just stand out as like the ultimate musical experience for you?
Two, actually. Well, one mainly. Well, I'd moved to Bloomington. I had just turned 21, and I'd pretty much only seen like concerts at the Coliseum or big concerts. And I read about this guy named Richard Thompson, and he was playing at Jake's, and they were saying he was playing the Fairport Convention. And actually, all my people at college, they didn't want to go. So I went by myself. Mm-hmm. So I get there, and it was just like, okay, now I know what I've been missing when it came to music.
Goodness.
And also, I sat with a lot of people who traveled there to see him, and they told me about all these things. And it was like, just, oh my gosh, it was great. And for me, seeing concerts at small clubs, and that became like, for me, the best thing. But also, I went on a Fairport Convention Reunion Festival back in the 80s and got to meet all these people there, traveled to Europe and England. Actually, a lot of the bands, I got to the point where a lot of bands I liked would play all in Europe. So I said, okay, let's fly to Europe and see some concerts.
Young folks might not know who Fairport Convention is, but back in that day, they were really quite something.
Yes. And they played a Celtic type of rock music. They basically blended Bob Dylan, Celtic music, and folk music. I guess England's answer to the folk movement there with their own little accent, I guess, is the best way to put it.
That's a great description. And that kind of keeps them, even their old stuff, it keeps them evergreen, to be sure.
Yes.
And I thank you for bringing them up. What an experience to have gotten to be in the whole reunion movement.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And then they had a big reunion festival, and they'd bring all the sort of who's who's of bands. When I went to that first tour, it was like, well, we went to like a Kaylee, Dunkel, Dougie McLean's house, and Fiona Ritchie was there. And also guys from Silly Wizard were playing and stuff like that. And it was just crazy. But all the people we were hanging out with was like the critic from Boston Globe, people from Los Angeles Times, all these other people had really interesting lives from all over the world. So you're hanging with these really super cool people. Although I was on the point where they could drink a lot better than I ever could. So it was one of those things where we were up the pub there and it's like all night long. It's like, not me. It's like, yeah, three or four of those pints put me down.
That is awesome. And what an amazing experience. And thank you for sharing it to have had such a memory.
Definitely.
Good for you. Okay, Bruce, how would you say doing live radio, especially public radio, has changed your life?
Well, I think before music was more of a private thing. You would just listen to music and you may tell a few people about it, but now you sort of let everybody know this is what I'm listening to, this is what I really like, and I hope you like it as well. But like I said, Brad brings his own school of thought in, George brings his own school of thought in, and it's always interesting to hear how it all comes together.
It is, and as you're saying, it's an empowerment.
Yes.
And we're glad you have it. Did you have any idea it would be this way when you first started doing this? And it has been 5 years ago.
No, actually, it was one of those things where, like I said, it sort of brought my passion back. I used to make mixtapes when I was a kid. I loved making mixtapes up for the car. Also, I'd share with my friends or, you know, I'd give them to people. They're going on to Purdue or something. Like, here's a good mixtape for you to listen to on the way down. So, yeah, for me, it's just more like discovering the mix, making the perfect mix, or I guess, or the one that you're happy with.
That is certainly a worthwhile endeavor, and now you get to share it.
Correct.
Over the airwaves. That is just right on. So, okay, Bruce, I get the gift that you give to your listeners with your show because I am one of your listeners. So very last question, what do you get from it all?
Well, for me right now, in a lot of cases, rediscovering older music that I'd forgotten about. So for me, it's like, oh gosh, Let's grab that old Sandy Denny. I've been playing the last few weeks. I was playing some Sandy Denny music because I had this Sandy album. I said, well, I haven't listened to that in quite a while. Oh, that's a really great tune. So for me, it sort of helped me rediscover my music collection. And also, oh yeah, I used to really like that artist. I wonder if he's got anything new out I haven't got, because there's so much good music out there. And sometimes you can't keep up with certain artists. They're like the favorite band you had for like so many years. And then all of a sudden you just sort of go a different direction. And now you can rediscover that. So for me, it's been just a process of rediscovering music and also obviously listening to new music as well.
Bruce Grimm is co-host of WBOI's Sidetracks, which is heard every Saturday evening from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock here on WBOI. Partners Brad Etter and George Seymour. Bruce, thank you so much for joining me on that side of the microphone today. And here's to your ever being sidetracked.
Thank you very much, Julia. You have a great day.